record this, and I'll be answering to my honey about why I didn't record it.
And Mac.
Yeah, and Mac too. Mac I don't have to live with, so. Y'all, I was having a real tough time this week finding the message. Normally I pray about it, I see it, or something comes to me. I wasn't having that this week. It was, I knew that the Holy Spirit was saying something, I just couldn't hear it. I think the end of the year, all the traveling, the schoolwork, everything is just had kind of caught up with me. And I kept thinking that, you know, Christmas is coming up fast. I need to do something that's Christmas related. I looked at all the scripture, none of it made sense, none of it clicked. I was getting real frustrated. It's kind of like being in a crowded restaurant with the music all up and you're trying to have a conversation. You hear something, but you don't know what you're hearing. That's where I was at. And usually, whenever I get like that, usually the boy and I will head out somewhere and have Southern Hibachi, which is the Waffle House. And that kind of helps me kind of get away. And Angela had asked me to go visit someone, a friend of hers husband that we talked about on the prayer list. So Braden and I went to visit them at the hospital, and this man and his wife, they've been through a lot. This man had to lay flat for days, not move. I can't imagine laying in one position for days. He literally could not move his spine at all. And they've been through a lot. They're still going through a lot. And we prayed with them. And as we were leaving, we ran into two more families that were there in the ICU. Folks that know me know that typically when I go somewhere, I meet somebody I know. And we started praying with them, and seemed like it meant a lot to them. And as we're driving home, I think I started understanding what was being told to me. These people need to hear the name Jesus. They didn't need to hear Mark Vaughn. They needed to hear the name Jesus. They needed to hear a prayer. They needed to know that God was there for them. Those ICU waiting rooms, I know from experience, can be very far away from where you think Jesus is at. After I got home, I started looking at scripture, and that Christmas scripture didn't make any sense to me Saturday morning. Suddenly, part of it started, I had an aha moment, and I realized what I was being told to speak to you about this morning. There are people that felt like God was so far away in their lives, but all that was about to change in a moment. We're looking at the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. The book of Luke, along with Matthew, are the only two of the four Gospels that tell about the birth of Jesus. Mark and John don't. They cover Jesus when he was grown, that part of his life. The Gospels, some people talk about sometimes how they disagree with each other, but I don't think they disagree. I think if you have four of us watching a movie and writing a review on it, all four of us are going to put in different details, matched to our personality and our experiences. And I think the Gospels are the same way. But Luke, who was basically a disciple of Paul, he wrote this birth piece. And this birth part here has been on everything. I think everybody probably recognizes it from Charlie Brown, the Charlie Brown Christmas, Lioness. And the story was, before these verses, Joseph and Mary had to travel to Bethlehem. There was a census by the Romans. The Romans were very meticulous record keepers. They still have a lot of records on hand. They have records on hand. When they would conquer a province or conquer an area, they took stock of what they had. So these censuses were regular. And the way they did in this land, they made everyone go back to where their family originated from. Joseph's family originated in Bethlehem. Joseph was a direct descendant of King David. That actually fulfilled part of the Old Testament prophecy about Jesus. Mary was very pregnant but she had to come along too for the census. They ended up giving, she ended up giving birth to baby Jesus in the stable beside the inn in Bethlehem. This fulfilled a prophecy that was 700 years old. The book of Micah is not, Micah isn't a big hitter in a lot of the sermons, but chapter 5, verse 2, talked about how from Bethlehem would come one that basically changed the world. 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, verse 9, they talked about the, verse 8 and 9, shepherds in the field and standing watch over their flock. I want to give a little background on them. If you were a Jewish person at this time, shepherds were the last person you would expect God to come to. They were basically religious outcasts. According to Jewish tradition, these men were unclean. They worked at an occupation that was unclean, and they were so defiled, ridiculed, a shepherd couldn't even give testimony in court because they were supposed to be that unreliable. They were basically like today's version of a gypsy or a carnival worker. Because of their job, they didn't work 40 hours a week. They worked 24/7. Their life revolved around the flock. So they never, ever got to go to temple. So they were on the priest's bad list. They were socially isolated. They stayed with their herds. They never really came in to mess with the rest of, to interact with the rest of Jewish society. One of the priests, a Jewish priest, who was very high in class and stature, wrote, he did not know why God chose to be compared to a shepherd in Psalm 23. That shows their attitude towards a shepherd. Since they were constantly on the move, they were viewed with suspicion. Often, if something was stolen, where was the shepherds at? They did it. Day and night, they served around their flock, guiding them to food and water or protecting them from predators. You would expect an announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior they've been prophesied about for hundreds of years, political leaders, governors, high priests, who knew what to look for. You would expect angels of God to come to them. They didn't. None of them were invited. Three kings from a foreign land had studied the Jewish text and knew better than guys that had grown up studying it. They went and told Herod, and the Jewish priest that he'd went to, Oh, yeah, that might happen. Only a few poor shepherds, social and religious outcasts, received the announcement. The angels spoke to them, and this was significant. An angel had not appeared before the New Testament for hundreds of years. There had been no real interaction since the last of the prophets. That's hundreds and hundreds of years. Till tonight. The angel, as he started talking in verse 10 and verses 11 and 12, this angel put something so special into motion. He delivered the gospel for the very first time, right here in that field in Bethlehem. The gospel is Greek for good news. Right there in that field, to people that weren't even considered good enough to come into a temple, were the very first ones to hear the good news of Jesus. That moment, God was there in that field with people that felt so far away from him. So far away, they thought he wasn't there. This is where the gospel was delivered first. The angel announced the birth of a Savior. Not an advisor, not a reformer, not a committee, a Savior. God knew we can't save ourselves. No matter how good we are, we have a sin nature that's born to all of us. All of us. We need Jesus, a Savior in our lives. The angel gave the shepherds a sign in verse 12. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And people still ask, why did God, the herald of God, appear to these people? Why these people? What was so special about them? We don't even know their names. Luke didn't even record it. Some people say it was because Jesus had referred to himself as a good shepherd, caring for us. I think the answer is simpler than that. The gospel of Jesus needed to be heard and felt there. The name of Jesus, the name of the Savior, carries power. And it's only fitting that this Savior and his announcement should be in fields with flocks manned by people that were considered unclean by hypocrites, who had more sin in their heart than these people with the rods and staffs. God wanted to show that his love doesn't discriminate on the basis of class or wealth or social standing. He's here for kings and princes. He's also here for those, the nameless that we'll never know, the people there on the side of the roads, the people holding the cardboard signs, the people in orange jumpsuits. He's there for them. He doesn't value priests or pastors above anybody out there in the field. Doesn't show favoritism, doesn't show preferential treatment. His love is available all on the same basis. Faith in Jesus. The Savior of all equally. For anyone that will trust in him. And then there came a multitude of heavenly hosts. Basically a band of heavenly soldiers. And they sung about peace. We need it right now. And I don't mean tree-hugging Woodstock peace. I mean, we need peace in our heart. How many people right now can honestly say they have a peace of mind? Mind is attacked every day. Every little thing, every little bump, every email, every little bit. That peace is trying to be stolen. That's internal peace. External peace, the world's gone mad. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care which side you take. Both sides are looking at this world like, oh my gosh. We need peace. We got a 13-year-old. I was reading an article about it the other day. Stabbed some 11 or 12-year-old to death. We need peace. And that's what these angels were singing about. The shepherds needed peace. They had a hard life filled with very hard work. Lonely. And the peace that they needed can't come from the world. John 14:27, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives you. We need that peace right now. The angels went away. And the shepherds jumped right up. Let's go to Bethlehem. I think this is where the shepherds showed what they were made of. Jesus in Revelation says, I stand at the door knocking. How many times have we not answered? I mean we. I have walked away from that knocking door before. There are times I still want to straighten things out on my own. These shepherds got up. They didn't think twice. They headed off to Bethlehem, basically after they were visited by someone that could have been E.T. or anyone else. They answered his call. On faith, they went to Bethlehem. They did more than listen. They tried to come to Jesus. They had faith and willing to act on it. They went there, and they found that baby wrapped in clothes in a manger. The clothes, not a big thing. That was a lot after birth. You would have that. That was common. Laying in a feeding trough, not so common. They saw Jesus with their own eyes, and they listened, and they believed, and they acted on it. These men, who will never know their names, witnessed Jesus. They saw him. And they were forever changed by it. Too unclean to come into the temple. Considered outcast by the people that were supposed to be worried about their souls. These men saw Jesus. They acted on it. And then they talked with the mama. And Mary just took it all in because she knew there was something special about him. She took all this in, and these men were changed. They went around glorifying and praising God, and all they had heard and seen just had been told to them. Can you relate to the shepherds? I don't think it's too difficult. Socially speaking, they weren't anything to write home about. None of us are setting the world on fire socially either. We may have 1,000 Facebook friends, but really, how many friends do we have? None of us have the nicest of houses. None of us are on the exclusive list anywhere. There are times we all feel unclean and unworthy. We're honest with ourselves. I don't think there's a single person today that can view themselves as being pure and innocent and holy in the sight of God. I sure can't. I'm a sinner. I try to do better. I turn to Jesus. I know he's my Savior, but it's a struggle every day. Our lives are not spotless stories of virtue at every moment. Could be right now we're dealing with some tension in your home. For me, one of 1,000 causes. Addiction, financial issues, trust issues, and it produces that tension. That tension can give way to sin. And you feel like there is no one there, like you are all alone. Maybe a shame from the past that you continue to bury in your soul. We all have it. We all open our mouths when we shouldn't. We all do things at times when we shouldn't, or the opposite. We didn't say something when we wish we had, and we wish we'd done something when we didn't. So many times, the people that we've done it against, they might forgive us. God might forgive us. Bless you. How many times do you forgive yourself, though? That can be the hardest person to forgive yourself. And you walk around carrying it inside. And you feel like there is, God doesn't understand. God's not there for that part of your life. And you're ashamed to even bring it out and ask him to get it out in the light of day and forgive you. Or help you forgive yourself. Maybe your health isn't what it once was. And you're reminded every day that we're getting older. And one day we're going to leave this world. That can be a scary thought. Looking at it like that, I don't think any of us have any trouble relating to the shepherds. When they were in that field that night, they were so far away from God, they thought, unclean, unworthy. He didn't even know who they were. By the end of that night, before the sun rose, it wasn't the Pharisees, it wasn't the scribes, it wasn't Herod. It was these nameless shepherds that had been the recipient of the gospel. Those men, those nameless men, became the first evangelists in the world. Jesus' seeds were spread initially by people who others thought were too unclean to even grace God's house. Their lives weren't glamorous or glorious. But these simple men, God announced the greatest gift He would ever give the world. I hope for this Christmas we'll celebrate with a shepherd's faith. They didn't doubt. When they heard the news of Jesus, they believed and they acted on it. And I hope that we can celebrate Christmas in 2020 with that same faith. Despite what life's thrown at us, God's gift announcement to the shepherds by the angels is God's gift to us. It's announced in His Word. Joys and sorrows and up and downs and blessings and challenges, they're going to come and go. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, there's a season for everything. We're going to have seasons of good and bad. Always. But our faith in the Savior that is present from the bottom of the barrel to the top of it is there. Nothing can ever erase that. No matter how unclean we might consider ourselves, no matter how unworthy we might consider ourselves, think about those shepherds. They weren't even allowed to be in the temple. But there they were. In a moment, their life was changed. And they knew God was there. They knew Jesus was there. And right now, someone here, someone listening to this might think, I can never get clean of this sin stain that's on me, that's on my soul. God don't know I'm here. God don't care. Yeah. Cared about those shepherds, cares about us. You're not too far gone. Whoever's listening to this that might need to hear it, you're not too far gone. But like shepherds, you gotta act. Jesus is here. He's knocking, but you gotta act. You gotta do something for yourself. You gotta take that step. And if Jesus gives you the plan, you gotta be willing to follow it. Can I ask everybody to stand with me? We're gonna go to the Lord in prayer. And then the songs will be playing, the altars will be open. If something's on your mind, go to God about it. If you're not sure where you're going to, if you died right now, where you're going to end up, come up here. I will pray with you. If you're not comfortable praying with me, just please talk to God if you don't talk to anyone else, and it don't have to be fancy. Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer. Father, we come to You in prayer asking for the faith of these shepherds. Father, they didn't consider themselves worthy, and we're not worthy either. But yet, You have sacrificed so much for us. You came to earth, lived as a man. You died for us. You shed Your blood for us so that we might have everlasting life. Father, You see every heart. You see every struggle here. You see every stain. Father, there are people out here that think that they will never be clean. They think they'll never be worthy. That they're going to walk through life unclean and unworthy. Father, You can clean anything. You can take away the sin. You can help us to be better than what we are right now. And Father, we ask for that. Father, if there's anyone out here right now that does not know where they're going to end up, they have not accepted You as their Lord and Savior, Father, put that urging on their heart to come forth, because we don't want anyone to spend eternity in hell. All these things, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.